So this is going to last probably between 25, 30 minutes. I've done this presentation before, way back in April. The reason I did it tonight, I'm speaking with an audience of about 400 MSPs in October. So this is almost like a rehearsal that I'm doing for you guys and girls. You're the guinea pigs. So you got the ability to give me some brutal feedback, tell me what sucks, answer any questions at the end that you might have. You've got questions about the content. And just that any feedback would be great because I need to practice this, and practice makes perfect with these type of things. So the three big promises that you walk away with after spending 25, 30 minutes with myself today, what I'm going to show you is a system that you can implement in your business. Some of you will get growth in your IT business in as little as 10 days with this system, depending on the types of industries or the locality that you're in, depending on how much competition there is. It's a system that we're copying from successful MSPs. So it's looking at how they're generating leads with a full marketing team and leveraging basically some of the specialized knowledge that they've got and bringing it to you guys. It's maybe just, we here at IT Rockstars, we deal with members of all our clients, but all sizes of service businesses, IT service businesses. And then the third thing, if you follow this system and implement it consistently month after month, you'll find that from now till in a year's time, you'll have quite a large growth in traffic on your website. And that traffic eventually turns into sales meetings, sales appointments. So if you follow this system, implement the steps, you will have quite a large growth over a 12-month period. A little bit about me. My name is Scott Miller. I'm the founder of IT Rockstars. I've worked in the IT managed services industry for 20 plus years now. The relevance to what I'm going to show you in this presentation is my history anyway, is when I first started out on business myself, I was doing break fix, computer repair, residential stuff. And I live in Scotland and Aberdeen, and I was ranking my website at the top of Google for some really great keywords locally. And this is before iPads were really a thing. So it was like people had laptops or desktops. I could go and fix a laptop screen for $200 and I could charge a lot more for that, more than that if I wanted. It was great while it lasted, but I realized that managed services was the way forward. I got burnt out. I was getting like 10 phone calls a day through my website, through SEO, got my site to the top of Google. But IT services, managed IT services is the way forward. That's why we're all here today, because we know that's the best sort of profit generation when it comes to it. It's reliable as well. So that's a little bit about me. When I switched from that break fix model after I got burnt out to the MSP, I had a really big pain point. And that was generating leads. And it's something that I struggled with. Even though I had all this experience with Google from the residential side of things, when it came to managed IT services, it was a completely different ballgame. It's a much longer sales cycle. It's not as transactional. A lot of clients already have an MSP in place. So that sales cycle is completely different. However, things are changing with that now. The younger generation are coming up. They're doing a lot of online research when it comes to managed IT, who they're going to use for their business and things like that. So having a presence digitally is really important now, but that was the biggest pain point that I had. And that's what I help IT business owners around the world solve. So casting back your mind to 2020 or prior to the pandemic, if you cast your mind back to prior to that, if you were on Teams like we are today or Zoom, it was something quite special. It wasn't the way that business was really done. It was something that was special. But the pandemic forced us all onto Zoom and Teams. And now it's really just a part of our life, doing business on these platforms. And as I say, this webinar is proof of that. So you probably find, certainly I do, that when I meet with a prospect or a client, they much prefer if I just meet them virtually than go and actually sit down with them. Obviously, there is still a need for that on the presence support that's required. But Teams and Zoom are really, they're there now, and these video platforms. And that change is subtle, but it's actually opened up a large opportunity for you that I'm going to talk about today. And the opportunity is really going from a local IT services firm focused on local clients to looking around the nation or the globe for more of a global reach for your IT business. And we've got a couple of members here at IT Rockstars that are actually, I guess they're ahead of the curve when it comes to this. So they've embraced this non-localization. they've created partnerships with other local MSPs in the area. And they manage the contract and the commercials, and the local MSP is maybe like boots on the ground when they have to go in and turn off a server or a switch and going back and turn it back on. So these sort of partnerships, I've seen many of them form. And because we have the internet, we've got places like IT Rockstars, the Tech Tribe, there's all the Facebook groups, places like Reddit as well. It's really easy to find local MSP that can help you service your that local presence of a client. So it's a big opportunity. But most MSPs that I speak to, 99% of them, are still focused on that local market. And I'm going to show you today a little bit of a way how you can leverage what's happened since the pandemic. And going back to the lack of leads that I had, one of the things that you have to think about with this, and this is like a story or an analogy that I've got here on the slide. There, aluminium is, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson, but aluminium was, it's a metal that was actually really rare. If we're going back to 23 AD, there was some metallurgists that discovered aluminium, discovered how to actually get it out the ground. And they brought it to this Roman emperor at the time. And the Roman emperor cut the guy's head off. Tiberius cut this guy's head off. Because the Roman emperor was really worried about this metal because it was light, it was shiny. And he was worried about that just like decimating the price of gold and silver. He had a big saving of it. And so it was something that was really quite rare. Like leads are in your business, potentially. But there is actually an abundance of it. It's just being able to change your frame of mind, your frame of reference about the leads that are already out there, that are at your grasp. So fast forward to I think it was the 18th century. There was two inventors at the very same time. They discovered electrolysis, and they discovered that applying that to ore of some description, you could get aluminium out of that ore using electrolysis. And we all know now that I'm speaking mainly to US guys, is like this metal that's like in everyday life. You know, it's in the Pepsi can or the Coke can that you have, the beer can that you have. It's throwaway, but it wasn't back then. So what was scarce is now very much abundant. And it was just about finding a process that allowed it to become abundant. Same's here with this orange tree. You know, if you have no ladder for this orange tree, you can only get so many oranges off the tree. But if I give you a ladder, a system, a process, you can get many oranges off the tree. So that's what I'm going to show you. And little word here. I don't know how you would read this word. It's all one word. I read it immediately as opportunity is nowhere. But if you look more closely, it's now here. Okay. So it's really about changing your perception more than anything else. And we all know like the mind is like one of the greatest blockers. We block ourselves all the time in our business. So it's changing your perception, changing your frame of reference and your process potentially is going to up you, is going to give you more opportunities for leads in your business. I'm going to show you an MSP that's getting 84 IT sales appointments in the diary every single month. And this is, I was looking at how larger MSPs are playing the game, okay? Looked at, these are search terms in Google. So IT Support New York, IT Support Los Angeles, IT Support Chicago. This is the traffic that these top MSPs, the ones that are at the very top of Google, this is the amount of traffic that they get back to their website. And we can pretty much say rule of thumb of the Chicago search, 8,400 people are going to that website every single month. There's probably about a 1% conversion rate on it. Not everyone that goes to your website is actually going to convert into a sales appointment. So this is very much 1%. I'm being very conservative here with that term. So that's like a huge amount of leads. The only issue with these terms is you need huge budgets to compete in this space because it's such a lot, such a densely populated area. And maybe not where you are, but certainly for these terms, and 99.9% of the competition all trying to go after these similar terms in your local area. So it's like a losing battle. You're basically just going to be joining the rat race, trying to go after these local terms in the search engines. It's not worth the hassle. And I get people coming to me and I could quite easily go and take someone's money and rank them at the top of Google for one of these terms. It's quite an easy thing to do. The main issue with it is the fact that you can't guarantee the position. So I can go and spend like $10,000 in a month on backlinks and having the best SEO. But to tell you the truth, when it comes to these terms, they're so competitive that you're not going to be able to stay at that position one for very long. So what's the alternative? How do we get around this from a search? How do we change our context? How do we change our process? Where's that ladder that we're looking for? Where is the electrolysis process that we're going after? I call them shadow keywords and something that's known as the golden keyword ratio. I'm going to show you an example of a shadow keyword. I've got a couple here. A shadow keyword is something that's very niche specific or niche specific. Maybe you're serving a particular type of client in a particular industry. The other thing about shadow keyword is it has low competition in the search, okay? So there's not many people that even know about these keywords. And I've got two here up on the screen. They're fairly obvious when you look at them, but if you look at the volume behind them, there's no competition for these. So the first one I've got here is from my UK friends, Cyber Essentials Cost. Cyber Essentials here in the UK is a type of accreditation for cybersecurity and compliance. Looking at someone that's on Google and is searching the cost of that, there's around about in there 70 searches a month for that term, but there's hardly anyone that has a page optimized on their website for that term. And the cool thing with it is it's like really low down the funnel. It's like almost at the point of buying when someone is like making the choice of how much does this thing cost before I go and make a decision and buy it. That's like right down at the bottom of the funnel. Another one we got here is HIPAA compliant IT services. It only has 20 searches a month in the US. But again, there's no competition. No one has a page specifically optimized for this term. So you can basically go onto your website, optimize a page with the right content, and basically win the search for these terms. There'll be very little competition. So if you can build up a number of shadow keywords over time, that can slowly start to draw in traffic. Now, obviously, you don't have the same volume as these IT support type keywords in your location. But the intent behind these keywords is much higher further down the buying funnel. And the people, as I say, you're going to get more people back to your site because you're going to be at that position one because there's just no competition. So you can go on to, you used to be able to go to Google and do this. You can use what's called the search operator or search modifier is the other term for it. And you can see how many other people you're competing for a particular term. So you would type in all in title and then quotes, the keyword that you were looking to maybe optimize for. Google's actually just like in the last 2 or 3 months taking the results number away from that. You can still go through the pages and just count. There's basically 10 results on a page and you can count that way. Bing still has it though. So you can still, I think, yeah, on Bing, you can still do it. I don't have it in this one. There is an operator for Bing. So I have to update my slides, but there is an operator for Bing. Since I did this presentation back in April, there are now 29 people that are optimizing for this term. I did it to an audience of about 100 people and 100 MSPs. So about 20 of them took the advice and went and built a page on here about these terms. So you need to find your own terms, or you can speak to me here at IT Rockstars and I can show you some of these terms, but they're not to be disclosed because I don't want everyone to know about them. Okay. Because they're really easy to game. So that's the first thing to do is go and build a page about that. But you will find terms that are, you've got that golden keyword ratio. They're what I call a shadow keyword, but you are going to come up against competition. And sometimes you'll find that no matter how much you do from an SEO perspective, you just can't seem to get any traction. You're not coming up page one. So I'm going to show you some of the tactics that you can use to come up on page one at Google. The first one is to reverse engineer the search. We're in quite a lucky position when it comes to SEO and the search. And that's the fact that Google reveals its cards, its hand every single day. When you type in a keyword, you can look at the results, or you can basically look into your competitors and see what they're maybe doing to optimize for particular terms. The other way that you can do it is look at Google's patents that they've released. This one was released back in 2017, I believe. And it's all about topical authority. So this is like how they actually organize the search results, why a website comes up near the top than other websites. And one of the main things with this one is that the content on your site has to be topically relevant. and how closely related it is to the other topics that you're talking about on your website. So to give an example of what this looks like in practice, you would have like your services pages, one of them, a service page dedicated to HIPAA compliant IT services. And then you would have potentially four or five blog posts that were semantically relevant to that main topic. And you can see the ones that I've got here in this topical map. So really what you have to do is you have to identify five or six keywords you want to come up for, these shadow keywords. And then you have to design a topical map of content that you're going to publish on a regular basis to go after these keywords and optimize for that one page. So you've got the top of the service page, and you've got the blog posts underneath, and each blog post should be linking, interlinking to that services page. And that is one way to achieve higher rank in the search, is by gaining what is known as topical authority in SEO speak. Other way, and this is like the, this is like SEO 101, but not many people talk about it. It's like the number one way to rank in the search. Once you've optimized the site, your pages, all of that technical on-page stuff that you can do on your website itself, the other way that you're going to be able to gain search results and get traffic to your website is through what is known as backlinks, okay? So a backlink is basically a link from another website to your website. And the more of these backlinks you have, the better. It's not all about volume though, okay? So whilst it maybe used to be about the more, the better, it's actually about the best quality backlinks is going to give you that boost above your competitors in the search. So what makes up a good backlink? You've got ones that are niche specific. So if you're getting mentioned by potentially vendors in the MSP space or industry associations in the MSP space, they're really good types of links to get from websites. Then you've got local websites. So like maybe you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce or a BNI chapter or another sort of local network or association. Those types of links are really good as well. You can get mentions from there. Then you've got industry ones. So if you maybe work with particular types of industries, having a link from their website back to your website, again, that's another one. And the fourth one we've got on the list is authority sites. So that is sites that have what I'd call a good domain age or a good domain authority. They're well trusted in the eyes of Google. So that's like things like Wikipedia, that's got a really good high authority site, or particular just authority sites in general. So I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. I can't, my mind is going blank. But the other type I've got here is an example, MSP Near Me. That's a directory that we run here at IT Rockstars. That's industry relevant. It's a directory of managed service providers. You can get a backlink from there. There are other ones like Cloud Tango. That's another one that I'm aware of. There's a few more like that. They're basically business directories for IT providers. So getting those types of relevant links so that your backlink profile looks natural and doesn't look like you're trying to game the system. And then we get onto the bad backlinks, and that is when you're maybe going to go pay for links, bulk links. A really good example of that, at the moment, you can go to a place like Fiverr. You can actually get a million backlinks for $5. If you go and purchase that and point all of those links back to your website, there's a really high chance that's actually going to have a negative impact on your website. And it'll actually get, you know, it will basically put your ranking down in the search. And to bring this into context, a little story, I used to operate in a niche when I was prior to managed services. And this is at the time when negative SEO was right. And people were just basically, all our competitors were just buying each other bulk backlinks. And we were hammering each other's sites. I wasn't involved in negative, and I saw the writing on the wall there. It's like going down that route of negative SEO, no one can really win. It's just a race to the bottom. So avoid bad backlinks, okay? The best type of backlink, though, what I call digital PR backlinks. And this is you building your brand on the internet across things like trusted news sources. So you have a story or a news piece, maybe you've launched a book within your business and you need some coverage, you can get PR, they're called digital PR backlinks. So that's from local news sites and news sources, again, backlinks to your site. Now, these types of digital PR links, they're really good because you're not only getting the juice from that website, the SEO backlink. You're also getting the exposure on that news website, and you're getting the sort of brand, all the eyeballs about the story from that website. So it's almost like a 3-for-1 if you can get digital PR backlinks. So that's what you need to do in regards to building out shadow keywords and getting traffic, highly relevant traffic, back to your website. So step one, identify your shadow keywords. Step two, publish and optimize for topical authority. So that's building out a topical map for each of these 5 or 6 keywords that you're going to go after. And then the step three is obtaining high quality backlinks. And then obviously getting the PR backlinks for the win. So that's what you need to do. That is the presentation. Fairly quick, actually, 22 minutes, which is really good because I only have half an hour to speak. So if you have any questions, guys and girls, please put them in the chat. Hopefully I haven't like just totally bombarded you with information that you can't walk away with today, but you should hopefully have found something useful here. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Yusuf, go for it. Just ask in the chat. Oh no, that was you. Sorry, Yusuf, that was you just saying that you could hear me. And we've got James in here as well. I just met James a couple of hours ago. Yeah, food for thought, James, as I say, it's a longer term approach, but over time, it's going to build with the right content. And that's where we come in here at IT Rockstars for publishing content on a regular basis. That's what's going to get you these results. Thank you, Nick. Oh, New York misspelled. I'm really good at that. I'm really good at spelling. So the only way to get, James is asking, if you can get rid of bad backlinks. The only real way to do that, actually there is a way. So there's two ways. First way is to just manually outreach to the website. So if it's maybe low volume, you can use a tool like Ahrefs, and that will allow you to see all of the backlinks that you have. I'll bring it up on the screen here. You might be aware of this tool. I was looking at something here. Let me just bring it up. So this is like a random website that I was on. So it's a website called school.com. And it's what we use for our membership here at IT Rockstars. But Ahrefs shows you all of your backlinks. Okay. So you can pretty much see all the good ones and the bad ones just with this report here. You can export them. So the first way, if you've got the time, is just to manual outreach and ask them to remove the link from the website. The other way that you can do it, there's a tool that Google gives you access to through Google Webmaster Tools or search. I think it's called, it's Google Webmaster Tools, called the Disavow tool. And you can pretty much upload a list, like an export from Ahrefs, and I did identify all the backlinks. You can upload, I think it's like a CSV format, never done it, and to the Disavow tool. And that's you basically just telling Google, please ignore these links. I'm sure Bing has something similar, but the focus here is Google, just mainly because of the search. Nick's asking, what DA of client sites would it make sense to get a backlink on? The domain authority is important. Ahrefs will show you, obviously, the authority of the domain, but from a client's perspective, I would try and just get a backlink from them all. You're going to have the benefit of the eyeballs from your clients. So if you can do like a guest post on, you know, on their blog, or maybe a case study how you've improved their technology and their business and how that's maybe led to one of their services being much better now, that you could do a good guest post or even just get like a mention on their website. That's how I would do it. And then you can go and promote that post on their website and across social media. They can do it as well. You're going to get eyeballs and you're going to get the backlink. Just really go for the ones that you think they're going to say yes first. That's what I would suggest, Nick. Soyuz is typing. Cool. I can't believe only 6 people turned up to this webinar. I have 60 people registered. So it's a little lesson I learned. I need to do a little bit more reminders, I think. Steve, if you're still here, I'm going to put some reminders in place for our session in 2 weeks' time. What's the trends in MSP? Anything on the AI? I'm not entirely sure what you mean by that. So is it as in MSPs offering AI like Copilot, or are you talking about generating content or your website using AI? Yeah, Nick, I would forget as well. All right, so it's poor content for your website. From an AI perspective, personally, me, when I come across a piece of content that's written by AI, I can immediately spot it out, can see it usually within the first line of the paragraph. So if I can spot it, there's a high chance that the search engines can spot it. So it's probably going to get filtered out. On that point, though, Google has an algorithm that it released back probably, I think it was November last year, called the Helpful Content Update. And it was really to stop a lot of AI content leaking into its search results, because Google's number one job is trying to keep high quality in its search results. So the way the Helpful Content Update works is when someone lands on your website, Google actually records via Chrome how far they scroll down the page, how long they're staying on the page, and if they're interacting with the page with the mouse or the trackpad or your finger if you're on your phone. So Google monitors all of that and they send that data back. So if the user lands on your page and is interacting, scrolls down and engages, that's a good sign in Google's eyes. It usually means that the content's quite helpful. If someone lands on your website and lands on a page that isn't helpful or is just obviously written by AI and then bounces back out into the search, that's bad. And Google sees that because the user is bouncing back out into the search. So that's how the Helpful Content Update works. If you can produce content that's helpful, that's what matters. That's going to get you to the top of the search from a content perspective. If you produce content using the AI, it may very well read well and have a correct punctuation and spelling, unlike myself. I can't even spell New York. You're going to find that, it's going to be filtered out. So you've really got to watch what AI content. The way I use AI content is I use it to wireframe content. So I come up with I have to write a lot of content on a regular basis. So I wireframe, I maybe got an idea for a topic. I'll go to ChatGPT and say, how would I do a blog post about this? What key topics within the blog post can I cover? And that really starts to give me a little bit of an outline about what I can write with. And it leads to me, so I'm not just staring at a blank piece of paper or a blank screen. So that's how I use AI when it comes to content. It's just for ideas. It can also be really good if you go and write that manual piece and then you say something like, I need some research in this. Can you give me some stats about this content that I'm writing? It can go away and it can go and write you, pull out some information, and statistics are always good in content. It rings true with people. So hopefully that answers your question. Thanks, Nick. And yeah, I hope you're doing well. All right, guys, I'm going to sign off now because it's Friday night here in the UK. It's 7:30 and it is time for a beer. Whatever time in the world you're in, I hope you have a great weekend and I'll see you later.